The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program as we begin another week of covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, on this Wednesday show. We come to you live and direct from the South Point studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on the fabulous Las Vegas Boulevard here in your gaming capital, Las Vegas, Nevada. We welcome you to the show. And of course, we welcome all of you listening on many of the different platforms that we have. For those of you running around this morning trying to get to work or whatever and listening on your car, we're our radio station here in town. Our anchor station is Sports Talk 1400 AM in Las Vegas, of course, and 107.1 FM. On the websites, we got plenty of them. RaceDayLasVegas.com.Vegas.World.Global. You can get us streaming there on any one of those dots. And of course, your iPhone or your Android with the KSHP radio station app for listening. And the YouTube at, if you want to see and hear us, as we are on the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. And of course, for those of you watching now, welcome to the show as well. And of course, anywhere you get your podcasting, simply put, however, wherever, whenever you get us, welcome to the Race Day Show for this Wednesday. As we now get closer and closer, step by step, week by week, day by day, and hour by hour, to the 150th running of the Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby. And one more race, just one more, is left with small 20 points. That's all that's left, 20 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard for the points to be one of the 20 horses that will already be eligible to go to the Kentucky Derby. But remember, that is only given the eligibility. Because day by day, you know, as it happens, as we move closer to the Kentucky Derby, there are defects, either by health situations or whatever. So we're going to go over the top 20 as they stand now. And of course, the latest future book closing odds, the parimutuel closing odds in the final future book for the Kentucky Derby. And of course, the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard as well, because it'll be a big weekend coming up on the first weekend of May. And we all started out on Thursday, May the 2nd, with a special Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby preview show right here in these studios at the South Point Studios on YouTube. The only place you'll be able to get that special on Thursdays is right here on YouTube. It won't be broadcast simulcasting anywhere else on our platforms of our streaming and deliveries, okay? It's only on the YouTube South Point Studios streaming. Just go to YouTube, hit South Point Studios, click us on, and you'll get it. It'll be Thursday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time, 3 o'clock on Thursday, the 2nd of May. We're going to go over the Kentucky Oaks card, which is the following day, that Friday, and a preview of what we're going to do for the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Derby seminar that comes up the following day on Friday. And then, of course, on the following day, Friday, our usual race day shows in the morning, as we will throughout the entire week. And then, of course, right after the Kentucky Oaks card is done and racing is conducted and completed in Southern California on the West Coast, at 6 o'clock, we'll take the stage in the Grand View Lounge that is adjacent to the race book right here at the South Point. It's a nice lounge. It's a lounge that's set up for entertainment in the evening. But we're going to take it over that night at 6 o'clock Jonathan Hardoon from the East Coast, John Lendo from Southern California, and me in between them. We'll do the Kentucky, our annual Kentucky Derby seminar in the Grandview Lounge on Friday. That is the 3rd of May, Kentucky Oaks Day, that Friday night there in the Grandview Lounge. And then the next day, of course, is Kentucky Derby Day, the Run for the Roses, the 150th edition of the Run for the Roses. And we're going to be celebrating in the Grandview Ballroom upstairs. We ask you to join us. It's a huge, big ballroom with big banquet tables. Bring your friends. Each table seats between 8 and 12 seats. Big, huge, multi-story, big screen TVs. And of course, all the little TVs as well dotted around the room, because there will be other racing going on that you can also participate in. So you won't have to miss anything at your local track if you don't want to. A bank of betting windows, betting kiosks, food and drink discounts, and a Kentucky Derby hat contest that features several different categories. The best horse themed, the best fascinator or fedora, best overall, etc. And it's cash prizes for the hat contest. And of course, the excitement of watching the Kentucky Derby there. You can please join us, me, Jonathan, and John, and all of our friends that we include you with us. Come on up in the Grandview Ballroom and enjoy the Kentucky Derby Day with us. Everything I just mentioned to you, from the time you park your car to the time you go through the gambit of all those things I just talked about, is all free, free of charge to you. So come on out and enjoy it with us. All right. As far as the weather is concerned right now across the country, the West Coast is clear, but no racing there today. The East Coast looks pretty good, but there's no racing at Aqueduct. There is racing in Kentucky at Keeneland. And of course, we'll have our handicappers, Jonathan Hardoon, Rich Eng, John Lindo, Jerry J, all set up to come on and talk about Keeneland today. A great Keeneland card, I might add, for this Wednesday. And as far as the weather is concerned, a lot going on in Louisiana. I can tell you a lot going on in Louisiana. But there's a little bit of action going across Kentucky, so we'll wait and see about the weather conditions in Kentucky. But it's dotted across the South Gulf area by Louisiana, right up through the east, kind of inner east coast, and of course on up to Maine. But for the most part, it looks like it'll be pretty clear for the racing today. We have 7 tracks on our racing menu today. So we'll wait and see about the weather there. As far as the weather here, it's going to get good now. It's getting better. Oh, yeah. 53 degrees right now outside. We're going to get up to 81 degrees today here in Las Vegas. And for the rest of the week through Friday, we'll reach 87 on Friday. So we're getting in finally to the spring a la summertime type of weather here in Las Vegas. That's for sure. All right. We will be taking a look at several points that we want to make with our handicappers. But right now, as far as this weekend, on Saturday, there'll be 11 stakes races overall across the country of the tracks that we cover. Keeneland will have 3 stakes races on Saturday. And of course, one of them will be the Lexington Stakes. You got 1 grade 1 and 2 grade 3s. Laurel will have 4 stakes races on Saturday. Mahoning Valley Racecourse is going to have 2. Oaklawn Park will have 2. Oaklawn Park's going to have 1 grade 1 and 1 grade 2. And of course, no stakes races on Sunday. So it's kind of light, but it's going to be just good, just as good as the same. All right. One more race, as we said, with 20 points for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard, and that is the Lexington Stakes. Now, in the Lexington Stakes, that's already been drawn for, they have the field already for the Lexington. There's only one horse, Hades, that sits at 24th place right now, has 30 points. If he wins that race and gets to 50, he can bump one of the horses at the bottom of the eligibility. And as far as the eligibility there, we'll get right to it here. Here's how it lines up for the Kentucky Derby right now. Sierra Leone has 155 points. Fierceness, 136. Catching Freedom, 125. Stronghold, 125. Resilience has 110. Forever Young, 100. And Endlessly, 100. They all have 100, and that's the top 7 in the eligibility for the Kentucky Derby, as long as all the parts stay in the right place for these horses. And remember, the stalls, just 20 stalls for the Kentucky Derby. So finish in 8th place is Door Knock. Just a Touch has 75 and Doorknock has 75. You got Track Phantom at 70, West Saratoga at 67, Just Steel at 65. Just Steel is in 12th place now. In 13th place is Honor Marie at 65, as well as Just Steel. Domestic Product is at 60. Catalytic is at 50. Deterministic is at 50. Society Man is at 50. That's through 18 places now. That's through, that's 17. In the 18th place is Mystic Dan at 46. Then you have T.O. Password at 20th. This is a horse from Japan. That's the top 20 already eligible. Now, as I say, Hades is sitting at 30. He's in 24th place right now. If he gets the win in the Lexington and gets 50, he'll jump up and bump out Mystic Dan, and he won't bump out Mystic Dan, but Mystic Dan will drop down to 20th place. Hades will then be in 18th place, and T.O. Password might get knocked out as well. So, and looking at the way it feels, No More Time is on the cusp, along with Hades, but No More Time has no more time left to make any of the 20 points. So that takes care of the Kentucky Derby. Those are the horses are in the Kentucky Derby, qualified with points if they stay healthy and continue on their way there. Now, as far as the Kentucky Oaks is concerned, if I can get to that, the Kentucky Oaks, here's the way they line up for the Kentucky Oaks, top 20. Tarifa, 150. Where's My Ring, 125. Power Squeeze, 120. Leslie's Rose, 115. Torpedo Anna, 105. Those are all the ones with 100 points. In sixth place is Just FYI. Seventh is Jin Jin. Jody's Pride is eighth. Fiona's Magic ninth. And Regulatory Risk is 10th. The top 10 include Tappet Jenilee, Everland, Lemon Muffin, Into Champagne, Ways and Means, Our Pretty Woman, Vivi's Dream, Intricate, Alpine Princess, and Copion is the 20th as far as the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard. Any one of those horses that I just mentioned defect from the race, then you'll have Candid, Recharge, and Who Could Ask for More sitting waiting in the wings to bump into that. And that's the way the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby fields look like right now. If they ran the race today, those will be the eligible horses for the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. Of course, you know what happens. There have been late defections right up to the morning of the race, as we all experienced in the last couple of years. So we will wait and see here. Remember, Rich Strike, the big monster Richter scale winner a couple of years ago at the Kentucky Derby, wasn't even in the field 48 hours before the actual race. So we wait and see. But these are the horses that have already qualified to get a starting gate stall in the 20-stall starting gate for the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby. All right. Other real quick news here. Tom Albertrani, the trainer of Bernardini, if you remember, has retired. His last race was over the weekend. Tom Albertrani, the trainer, now retired. Bernardini was one hell of a racehorse, though, and he trained him. Irad Ortiz Jr. has secured the mount on Domestic Produce for the Derby. Domestic Produce gets Irad. The judge in Kentucky has delayed the stay by owner Zidane to get his horse Muth into the Kentucky Derby. He was supposed to make a decision on Monday. He did not. He's going to extend that decision to next Monday, the 15th of April, because he said, and that's Judge Mitch Perry in Kentucky that's handling this case. He said the reason for the delay was because he wanted to understand, he wanted an explanation of why the original suspension of Bob Baffert was extended by the racetrack. So until he gets that report from the racetrack, he will make the final decision, hopefully on Monday, on whether Muth gets into the Kentucky Derby under the training of Bob Baffert or not, by virtue of the lawsuit brought by the owner, Mr. Zidane. State of Maryland has got the okay from the Maryland legislators there to now take over Pimlico Racecourse. They will now have a nonprofit set up for Pimlico Racecourse to remodel Pimlico. Of course, that is the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness home. Pimlico Racecourse now goes to the state of Maryland. That will happen later on this year. And as far as all of the big races over the weekend, the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, the Wood Memorial Day card, the handle was down 23.3% from last year. Unbelievable. All righty. And one little piece of news as far as we are concerned here in Las Vegas and our great town, our sports and gaming town and entertainment town, the National Finals Rodeo, the most popular, of course, it's the Super Bowl of the rodeo season, that's for sure, and one of the most popular events here in Las Vegas that happens in December every year. Well, they like Las Vegas, and we like them because they have now a contract to have the National Finals Rodeo here uninterrupted through 2035. So cowboy up. All right, we're going to be right back and start our race day show with Jonathan Hardoon, John Lendo, Rich Eng. Eckwitz will be along with us. And, of course, your racing menu. That all comes up next. Don't go away. We're here at the South Point Studios. Get us on YouTube right now. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, taking a look at what happened on Sunday at Keeneland. They had a couple of stakes races, and those stakes races were the Palisade Stakes, the seventh on the card there on Sunday. The winner there was Fandom for Wesley Ward. That was Wesley Ward's second win of that day. Jose Ortiz riding, $17.50, the win price there. Out running Mansa Musa and Refuel, who finished third. In the Beaumont Stakes for three-year-old fillies at 7 furlongs, that grade two event was won by Denim and Pearls. It was a Brad Cox trainee. Lavian Pratt rode there, paid $5.58, outrunning Harbor Springs, and You Almost Had Me, who finished third in that race. That was at Keeneland on Sunday. Santa Anita wrapped up its racing. It's the winter spring racing season there at Santa Anita on Sunday. They will now take a break. They'll come back on the 19th of April. For Santa Anita, for a 29-day meet called the Hollywood Meet there. It's part of the old Hollywood Park racing dates that they have there. But wrapping up the winter and spring meet, mandatory payoffs on Sunday, a couple of nice stakes races there. The John Shear was won by King of Gottsford, Antonio Frasu, aboard paying $6.40 for trainer Phil D'Amato, outrunning Raging Torrent in that race, and Miracle Mark. And in the Angels Flight Stakes at 6.5 furlongs on the turf, the winner there was Lawline. And that winner was also ridden by Antonio Friso and Frisou, and also trained by Phil D'Amato. So Frisou and D'Amato won both stakes races on closing day at Santa Anita. That was Frisou's third win of the day, paying $7.40, outrunning Alluring and Girl of My Dreams. And that was the end of Santa Anita. By the way, for the end of Santa Anita, Juan Hernandez won the jockey title with 53 wins overall. That was his fifth Santa Anita title. His horses earned $3,683,348 there. But believe it or not, although he had his fifth Santa Anita title, he's far away from the record at Santa Anita. The record at Santa Anita for winning jockey titles was the famous Bill Shoemaker. He won 17 of them, in a row, starting in 1951 and every year since then until 1967. What a run Bill Shoemaker had, as we used to call him, the Shoe. Antonio Frisou had a good meet. He ran second in the standings with 46 wins there. Doug O'Neill won the training title with 30 wins. His horses amassed $1,797,470. That was his ninth Santa Anita title for O'Neill. And Mark Glack finished second with 29. Perona Stable was the top owner with 11 wins there. One win over Mr. Redham, who finished second with 10. And of course, as we say, the Santa Anita Hollywood meet will start on Friday, the 19th of April, and go through June 16th for 29 days there. And that concludes just about everything at Santa Anita. And finally, at Oaklawn Park on Sunday, the Eclipse Stakes was won by Edge to Edge. Rafael Bejarano for Chris Hartman, paying $12.20, outrunning Gun Pilot and Tapatio Leo, who finished third. Are you ready for the pick fives Sunday at Oaklawn Park? Early pick five. $10 even, $28.20, $4.40, $47.60, and $8.60. How about the fives for 50 cents, paying $10,922.10? But if you think that was a lot, the late pick five, with horses that paid $8.60, $53, $19.60, $12.20, and $14.80, how about the 50-cent pick five and the late pick five at Oaklawn on Sunday, paying $56,271.40? Wow. And Aqueduct on Sunday, no stakes races there. And Brad Cox had a win. Todd Pletcher had a win. Manny Franca was the only jockey that had more than one win. And that, of course, was two victories on the day. Rudy Rodriguez, though, won the early double. He had two in a row, trainer Rudy Rodriguez, on Sunday at Aqueduct. Now time for your racing menu for today. And we remind you that when we go to the racing menu each and every day, the first post times we broadcast on the show reflect that of the Pacific time zone. We are in the Pacific time zone. We're here at the South Point Studios. These will be the first post times that roll in right behind me in the race book today. We are in the Pacific time zone. Therefore, if you're listening on many of the different platforms that we have that stream around the world, we know we're in a lot of different time zones. So adjust whatever time zone you're in to the Pacific time zone. I don't want you to miss anything, of course, and making a bet, like I miss mom and dad, okay? Here we go. Here's the menu for today. We begin with Tampa Bay Downs. Tampa Bay Downs has a super high five carryover, $2,628. And their first post time at Tampa Bay is set at 9:30 today. Next comes Parks Racing. Now, Parks Racing has a first post time of 9:40. They had a mandatory payoff in the pick five pool the other day, so they'll start anew today. Parks Racing's first post time is 9:40. Next comes Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Their first post time is 9:55 at Mahoning Valley. Their pick six carryover, their jackpot pick six carryover today, $96,018 at Mahoning Valley. First post time, 9:55. Then we go to Keeneland Racecourse. Keeneland today has a first post time of 10 a.m. 10 a.m. at Keeneland today. Following that comes Turf Paradise, where Turf Paradise has a pick six jackpot carryover. It's climbing $267,891 in the pick six jackpot carryover at Turf Paradise today. First post time, 1:25. And then we wrap up the six tracks today with Evangeline Downs. Evangeline Downs' first post time is at 3:30 this afternoon. And, of course, we'll pick up the menu throughout the week. Tomorrow we'll have seven racetracks, Friday nine racetracks, and on Saturday 11 racetracks. All righty. Time to go to our man on the scene in the great state of New York, Mr. Jonathan Hardoon. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. I'm getting kind of excited now. You know, the Final Four, everything's over with the March Madness. That final's done. And, of course, the football season is way in the rearview mirror. Now we're into baseball. And, of course, we still have basketball. The basketball playoffs are coming up, etc. But now we really zero in on the Kentucky Derby and all the great stuff around it. And, you know, I got to tell you, the Kentucky Oaks Day of Racing with the Kentucky Oaks, which is a prestigious race of and within itself, And all the stakes races that surround these two events on Friday and Saturday, the first Friday and Saturday of May, going to really be a lot of fun and a lot of opportunity to make money. And we're sure glad that you and John are going to be right here with us to help us out.
Yeah, and we have that show Thursday night, which may end up being better than the Derby show, to be honest with you, because the Oaks could be a great betting race, and they have a lot of good stake races, and I guess we'll be doing them Thursday night right here on the YouTube channel from the South Point.
Yes, we will. We decided that we wanted to do that show on Thursday because the next day, which is Kentucky Oaks Day, by the time we conclude in the morning, our usual morning show with all the activity going on, and by the time we get to the next show, the Kentucky Oaks, day will be over with. And so we felt if we did it on the Thursday before, you really get a run up into the big Kentucky Oaks Day of racing. And, of course, a little preview of what we'll be doing on the Kentucky Derby seminar on that night Friday. So Friday's a big day because it has the Kentucky Oaks and then the seminar for the Derby, and then we flip right over to the Kentucky Derby. So the Breeders' Cup preview show was so popular here, we decided to do the Kentucky Oaks and Derby show on the same way on that Thursday. It'll be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's only going to be seen here at the YouTube. So for those folks who have not tried YouTube out, don't wait until that day. Try us out before so you're familiar with it at 3 o'clock on that Thursday, Pacific time.
It's really very easy. Even I could figure it out. So if I could figure it out on the computer, anybody can, to be honest with you. Because when it comes to computers, I'm a little lost, Ralph.
Well, I could tell you I'm an absolute five-star computer neophyte. So when I tell you all you have to do is turn on your computer, get on the internet, punch in YouTube. When you get to that page, then in the search bar on YouTube, just punch in South Point Studios and bada bing, you're there. Yeah, just click on, just click us on and you'll get the show. Really simple.
It is idiot proof, so that's good news to hear.
Which helps you and me out, that's for sure.
For sure.
Now, a thought about, going into the Kentucky Derby. Right now, there's a lot of people who think that this is going to come down to Fierceness and Sierra Leone, which is legitimate off of their past races. But we all know the Kentucky Derby doesn't exactly go to Hoyle.
No, a lot of times they draw up a plan, and it doesn't always work out. Listen, post position obviously is going to be very important. If Fierceness or Sierra Leone draw the rail, it's pretty tough to win from there. They did add the new extended the starting gate, so I guess that helps the inside a little bit, they said, but we'll see what happens. But post positions are obviously important. Dornock, is he going to decide to go to the lead? The only way he showed that he could run, or they're not going to rate him again. So, there's a game within a game, and you got to try to find some value. Obviously, at this point, Sierra Leone looks like the horse to beat, but a lot could happen between now and then. And I'm sure you're going to have a few defections, whether it be, vet scratches or something always goes wrong. We know that. It's very rare where they'll have the same 20 2 weeks out as they will come starting, the day of the race, because something always goes wrong. It's just part of life.
Yeah, no question about that. That's for sure. And when we're looking at Kentucky Derby, as far as I'm concerned, we've got all the past performance information already done. So we can study that and look for our idiosyncrasies as far as our personal handicapping is concerned. But, the post position draw and how they train when they get to Churchill Downs over the track that they'll be running in are two of the important elements, as far as I'm concerned, the ones that are left to really have some teeth in them when it comes to handicapping.
I agree 100%. I mean, believe me, what's going on today and what's going to happen then is it's going to change. It's going to change. Things are going to occur. And again, like you said, post position, extremely important. And how they train over that track is equally as important.
Yeah, no question about that. That's for sure. And of course, there'll be 150,000 or so at the racetrack. That's for sure. There'll be people all over the place, deep everywhere. And it depends how these horses, behave as far as getting from their barn area along the outer railing of the clubhouse turn and getting into the paddock. Now, they do have that new paddock that is a lot better, I think, as far as keeping horses calm than the old paddock. But still, you've got, you know, a lot of energy in the place, and a horse can really lose a lot of energy in all of the activity before they actually get to the starting gate.
Look at Sierra Leone on Saturday. I mean, he acted up. He delayed post a few minutes, and that was with 30,000 people. On Derby Day, there's going to be well over 100,000 people. Who knows how he's going to handle the crowd? You know, I'm sure they're going to try to work with him, but I don't know. How do you invent that situation? Not going to be easy, because you're not going to have that situation until that particular time. So, you know, it certainly wasn't good what he did on Saturday at, you know, with the start of that race. And if he draws an outside box or whatever, he's going to be behind the gate even longer with the crowd ramping him up. Who knows? We don't know what's going to be.
You know, and the thing about it is they have a golden opportunity on Friday, Kentucky Oaks Day, because they'll have, you know, close to maybe 100,000 people, 80, 90,000 people there. So that's a good, pretty good, you know, practice area where you can bring the horse in through the paddock and all that. They call what they call schooling their horses and see how they act, right, at least to a crowd like that. But those are the elements, those are the little idiosyncratic elements that, you know, may bring us to a horse that we like at a price. As far as the prices are concerned, the final Kentucky Derby Parimutuel Future Book Pool was conducted over the weekend. And I got to tell you, I'm going to give you the horse that that wound up the favorite. You give me what you think the price is. On the Future Book now, Fierceness was the favorite. What do you think his price is?
7 to 2.
4 to 5.
4 to 5.
Closing <luck. laughs> odds, 4 to 5 on Fierceness.
You realize on Derby Day he will be a lot longer than 4 to 5. So you got to hold this bet, and he may not make. I mean, something could go wrong.
Yeah.
And you're betting in advance, letting them hold your money for a 4 to 5 shot. That has to be one of the worst bets of all time.
Now, this is coming off of the Kentucky Derby website, so I'm assuming it is right. But they say the odds on them. Now, let's see, your horse, the horse that you picked for the Bluegrass that did run second, a very good second. I think it's Just a Touch,
just the Brad Cox horse.
Yes, Just a Touch closed at 51 to 1.
Well, I don't think he'll be 50 to 1 Saturday, so that makes that actually would be a pretty good bet.
Now, Sierra Leone, however, it closed at 10 to 1. That's a solid, nice price.
That's a fair price, because he's going to be a lot shorter on Derby Day. For the most part, most of these horses are the fair price, but to take 4 to 5 on Fierceness, no way, no thank you.
Yeah, now that is as far as the Kentucky Derby Pool 6, which was the final one.
A question, Ralph. All other is like 22 to 1, right? Or 25 to 1?
Well, now it says all other at 33 to 1. Now, I'm not sure if this is updated or this is was it, because they don't say. The Kentucky Derby website is very, I don't know what, it doesn't give you a lot of definite information.
Let me ask you a question. If Muth happens to get in, so he falls in under
all
the other
others.
Category. Yeah, you're going to get 25 today. That's pretty good.
Yeah, if the judge says Muth is a go, then he's going to be the king of the all others at that price. So we'll wait and see for sure.
I wonder if the judge made a bet. If the judge made a bet in a future book and has all other,
well,
there may be a conflict.
I'm wondering if the owner of Muth decides to send the judge an envelope with a bet in it. Who knows? You know, these days with politics, you never know. Anyhow, at least today we have, you know, usually on Wednesdays we always had Gulfstream and Tampa Bay. Today, though, of course, Tampa Bay is running. Gulfstream is not, because they're in the Royal Meet now. But it's going to be fun today anyhow, because Keeneland is running today, and Keeneland always has great racing there. So are we getting a pick of Keeneland today?
We're getting a pick at Tampa and Keeneland. I'm getting rumors that Keeneland may be off the turf, and my selection was for the turf in the 6th race. So I don't know, Ralph. Should I give the turf only, or should I pull an audible and go to the 7th race? You tell me what to do.
Well, I'm going to tell you what to do by virtue of my listeners out there. Give us both. Well, then why'd you ask? I'm always looking out for the listeners. You know that.
You love to pull those extra teeth out. You should have been a dentist.
Yeah.
And the first of our two radio plays comes in the sixth race at Keeneland. This is a mile on the turf, and this is turf only. I like the number 11 horse in here, Alexis Zorba. This is a four-year-old colt for the Mike Maker barn, coming off of a freshening since February 3rd. He's an improving horse. He's getting better with each start. Rider switch today to Irad Ortiz, 5-1 on the morning line. Number 11, Alexis Zorba, wins today's sixth race out at Keeneland. So now, if that race comes off the turf, my radio selection will move to the seventh race today, where number 5, Rocketeer, a three-year-old colt from the Brad Cox barn, makes his first start as a three-year-old. This horse was highly regarded as a two-year-old. He won his career debut at Keeneland. Returns getting Lasix today for the first time, stretching out to a mile and a 16th, training extremely well. 7-2 on the morning line. Number 5, Rocketeer, wins today 7th out at Keeneland. So you got 2 from Keeneland, and we're going to go to Tampa Bay and look at race number 4, 6 furlongs on the main track. And I like the number 7 horse in here, Sassy But Precious. 4-year-old filly from the Gerald Bennett barn. Bennett took over the training 2 starts back, and either one of her races for Gerald Bennett are good enough to win here. Amador Santos aboard to ride, 8-1 on the morning line. Number 7, Sassy But Precious, upsets and wins today's 4th race out of Tampa Bay Downs.
Well, all I can say is you did that very well. Everybody understands that, that's for sure. And that's okay. You'll grow another molder in there. Don't worry about it. In any case, recapping Jonathan, Tampa Bay, race 4, number 7. Keeneland, race 6, number 11, turf only. And race 6. Take that back. In race 6, number 11, turf only. In race 7, number 5, no matter what. How about that?
Correct. Perfect.
All right, Jonathan, we will let you go to work and start doing your penciling in on the Derby and all that good stuff, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
Got it, my man. Okay, coming up next, Rich Eng will give us his wrap-up on the NCAA basketball tournament finals, where his Connecticut won and covered, so he cashed his future book bet there. And of course, we'll get a pick out of him for Keeneland as well, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is committed to helping our nation's heroes and their families in their darkest hours. When a first responder or veteran doesn't return home and leaves behind a young family, Tunnel to Towers supports them. The foundation pays off their mortgages and lifts their financial burdens through their Gold Star Family Home Program and Fallen First Responder Home Program. Through their Smart Home Program, catastrophically injured veterans and first responders regain their independence with a mortgage-free home, specially adapted to meet their unique physical needs. Tunnel to Towers also provides housing assistance and services to our nation's homeless veterans through their Homeless Veteran Program. They are helping more than 2,000 in 2023 because no veteran should be living on the streets of the country they signed up to protect. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices made by our nation's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Okay, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Let's take a look quickly at the field for that Lexington, which is the last 20 points that can be had for the Kentucky Derby leaderboard this year. It'll be held, of course, on Saturday at Keeneland, grade 3, mile 16th. $400,000 is the purse for 3-year-olds only. And we will start from the rail. Number one is Secret Chat. Joel Rosario for Roderick Rodriguez. The two is the Wine Steward, Luis Saez for Mike Maker. The three is Dilger, an Irish bread, Tyler Caffleon for Safi Joseph Jr. The four is Footprint, Brian Hernandez for Kennedy McPeak. The five is Hades, Jose Ortiz aboard for Joseph Orsino. Can knock a horse out if he wins the race with the points he gets out of the Lexington. Number six is How's Your Attitude? Adam Basicia for John Ennis. The seven is Ever Do It. Axel Concepcion for Kevin Rice. The eight is Encino. Florent Garreau for Brad Cox. If you remember, he got scratched over the weekend, and Jonathan said he was moving towards going into Lexington. He's entered in that. The nine is Liberal Arts, Ired Ortiz Jr. for Robert Medina. And the 10 is Lucky Jeremy, Geraldo Corrales for Bill Morey. And that's the field for the Lexington on Saturday, the final race for any Kentucky Derby leaderboard points. Now let's go to the man who picked the winner of the finals in the NCAA basketball championship on Monday, Rich Eng. Good morning. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. And again, I'm wearing my UConn hat in honor of the Huskies getting the job done on Monday night.
They did, and it looked like that Purdue is going to give them a little bit of a close game for a while. But as Connecticut did in the entire series, come the second half, they just throttled it down and pulled away.
Yeah, and if people listened to the show on Sunday and my analysis of the championship game, I thought that if UConn could somehow play Edie straight up with Klingon and the backup center Johnson, I thought the other four Connecticut starters and the bench were far superior to Purdue's other four starters and the bench. And that proved out to be 100% correct, because they just killed Purdue. Edie got his, but the other kids didn't get any for Purdue.
Yeah, they were very underproductive in the big game, that's for sure. And it was exciting to see all the antics after as well, and all the commentary. But Connecticut now, two-time NCAA college basketball champions. And I got to tell you, if they get that team back, it might be hard. It might be a three-peat.
Well, the thing is that when UConn won 2 years ago, they lost their top three players to the NBA. I've read some reports that they could lose as many as their top six players to the NBA draft this year. So if that's the case, the next year's UConn Huskies will bear no resemblance to this year. And I saw the first price on UConn was 12-1, which is ridiculous, because you have no idea who's going to suit up in Huskies uniform next fall.
No, that's for sure. Well, this week, of course, is golf's premier event, the Masters. That'll start tomorrow. And of course, it'll be at that famous golf course in Augusta. And they have, complete odds for the players here at the South Point here. And now we're getting into the baseball season, as you know, and it's America's pastime. But now we're concentrating on getting to the Kentucky Derby and the big Kentucky Derby weekend. And for that matter, the Triple Crown. Who knows if there's a Triple Crown winner sitting out there?
Yeah, I heard you and Jonathan talking about the field bet for the Derby future book. Yeah, if Baffert wins his lawsuit, the field will become Baffert, depending on who else goes in there with Booth and others. So might be pretty salty at 33-1.
No kidding. That would be a bargain, that's for sure. And of course, that is what was posted on the Kentucky Derby website, their official website. I can tell you, I'm a little bit just a little bit wheezy about whether that is right or not, but that's what they posted, and so that's what we gave out on the show. If it is different, then you'll have to complain to the Kentucky Derby folks there, that's for sure. Well, we'll have a lot going on here. We're going to have a great time here starting on that Thursday night show here at the South Point Studios Network. But, Richie, I know that during the time that Santa Anita is off, you're going to do Keeneland, and when Santa Anita returns, you're going to still do Keeneland, because every year you do the Keeneland meets both in the spring and the fall, along with Southern California Racing whenever it has racing on their days.
That's correct. I'll have two sheets when Santa Anita opens back up on the 19th. So I've got a Keeneland sheet for today, and You know, just one final note on college basketball, and then I'll sweep it under the rug, Ralph. You know, I started out slow with my picks in the tournament, but I finished fast. I won 6-0 with my last 2 weeks worth of picks. So I hope people hung in there with me through the hard times, because the good times did come.
Yes. And thank goodness we found the ATM just in time to have that run with you. That's for sure. Anyhow, what do you got for today at Keeneland?
Let's go to race number one at Keeneland. 6 furlongs, maiden claiming 50. Let's go with the number 3, Blue Eyed Soul, 2-1 in the morning line. This horse got a prep race at Turfway Park for Wesley Ward. Ran well, ran second. Now picks up John Velasquez to ride for Ward. Should be a lot tighter in the second start off the layoff. So let's go with the 3, Blue Eyed Soul, race one, Keeneland.
All right, you got a first race at Keeneland, by the way, today for folks wanting to get in on that. And that is the start, of course, of the early pick 5. Keeneland racing starts, let's see, at 10 a.m., 10 o'clock Pacific time. So we got 2 hours after we get off the air. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it. Richie doing a yeoman's job. We are going to go right now to John Lindo standing by. And John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. We finally wrapped up Santa Anita and Juan Hernandez and Doug O'Neill, the kingpins there for that meet. But now we get a little time off and maybe, you know, to rejuvenate and, you know, reload some of the field sizes. I got to tell you, the last 3 days at Santa Anita was reminiscent of the old times when they had great cards.
Yeah, and, you know, there were people at the racetrack. There were 32,000 at the track on Saturday and 14,000 on Sunday. It's kind of sad that we have that dark week now. I thought that was really the first time they built some momentum during the meet, and I would have loved to have come right back this week. But, you know, they had the scheduled, and we'll go with it and see where we end up.
Yeah, but maybe, John, it's because that the horsemen knew that they were going to be off for a week that they decided to enter on those weekends. If they didn't have it, those field sizes might not have been that big.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You're sitting in the barn otherwise, so you got to run. And, yeah, so we'll see. You know, I would think now for this meet coming up, guys like Phil D'Amato, now that they have that Tapeta training track, he can train those turf horses a little more. I wouldn't be surprised to see Phil D'Amato go on a run with all those grass horses he has.
I can tell you this, John, finally, let's hope we're going to get springtime weather into the summertime and we won't have to cancel any because of the weather that's going through Southern California. But as we kind of take a breath before Santa Anita starts the Hollywood meet on the 19th of April, we have a chance to kind of fine tune and amass a lot of the material we need for handicapping for the big Kentucky Derby weekend. And of course, Keeneland, which is running today, and Keeneland, their meet, it's always a fun meet to handicap and bet as well.
Oh, I like it. And you might want to make notes. Last week, that main track, they didn't add a lot of water to it because it was so cold. I think they were afraid it was freezing. And the main track early speed dominated the main track sprints there. So when you come back and see those horses run, horses coming from off the pace took all the worst of it sprinting opening weekend at Keeneland.
All right, John, you have a Lindo report today for Keeneland. It's here at the South Point Racebook free of charge. Covers all the races as a suggested late pick 4 and all that goody information at the bottom. The complete comprehensive Lindo report for today at Keeneland, available now only in one place in Las Vegas, Nevada, and that's right here at the South Point Racebook free of charge, complimentary because they love horse players here. John, give us a horse.
Race number 5, number 1, Goshen. Comes out of a fast race at Turfway Park. He's 1 on the dirt. He's 1 in the mud. He's got tactical speed. And even though he's down in class, he's in a 10,000 starter, so he can't be claimed. So that's a positive. Rider switch to Tyler Gaffalione. I don't think there's any way we get the 8-1 morning line. I think that's a bad line. But if we get 7-2 or 3-1, that's a fair price. So race number 5, number 1, Goshen at Keeneland.
And we'll take it. Number 1, Goshen at Keeneland in race number 5. That's, of course, wrapping up the early pick 4, early pick 5 at Keeneland. In the 5th race, the 1, Goshen, is John Lindo's pick for the race day listeners. John, we'll talk to you tomorrow because Keeneland's running tomorrow, too.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, you got it, my man. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. And all I can say is I have no idea what Jerry's going to talk about. But good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Ralph.
What are we talking about today?
You know, we just saw some really important races, the Bluegrass, the Wood Memorial, the Santina Derby, and of course the Florida Derby is not too far in our past history. So I thought we could talk briefly about what I think are maybe the three most important horses from the whole set.
Okay. 2 minutes.
Pretty soon. I know you asked for five, but I would really be hard pressed to go past two if you really want to know the truth. Okay. Sierra Leone and Fierceness look head and shoulders above the rest to me right now. Not only on their ability level, which is very high, and when I say very high, I'm talking about very high in terms of historic great horses, not just in terms of, you know, a fast horse here and there. And then we have, there's some development we have coming in with a Stronghold, who's sort of interesting, but he's got a ways to go to get forward. We had Resilience, who showed tremendous improvement in the Wood Memorial, but we would call that being very toppish and probably bouncy. Same thing with Society Man. So really out of the, it's interesting, Dornock, he had a perfect trip down on the rail. He came out into the middle of the stretch. He was right alongside Sierra Leone, and Sierra Leone just looked at him and laughed and went on about his business, and Dornock sort of just shriveled up. That's all I can say.
Let me ask you this, Jerry, because we've got about 40 seconds left before I have to wrap up. But if the judge in Kentucky on Monday says that Muth can run in the Kentucky Derby under Bob Baffert, and Muth is in that field, is he one of your two, three, or whatever? How do you see Muth getting into this field if it happens?
He's certainly a contender. I really wasn't analyzing him that carefully over the weekend, but he's got a look about him. But you know, you really look at Muth, you see Imagination, you see Stronghold, and mm-hmm. they're six or seven lengths off of Fierceness right now, and I mean off of Sierra Leone, and they're probably 9 lengths behind Fierceness. It's a big gap. That's how good Fierceness in Sierra Leone is. The issue is, I wanted to just say this before we get off the show today.
Sure.
Is that Sierra Leone's last race, while absolutely spectacular in every way, may have been too much. I mean, he just ran a huge lifetime top.
He might have topped out.
And Fierceness, on the other hand, is ready to go right through his 2-year-old number. So.
All right. Well, thank you for trying to get that in for us as well. But we have one thing left to say to close up this Wednesday show. And you're going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.